Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome to Emmanuel. Welcome to this third of the midweek Lenten services as we are making our way through this 40-day journey on our way, walking with Jesus to his cross, to his suffering and his death for us and for our salvation. And we anticipate that celebration of Easter and resurrection victory. We're happy that the weather cooperated tonight and we don't have the snow and the blizzard stuff that's happening in Kansas, and we hope that that clears up for them very soon. Our theme for our service tonight is we continue this series of messages thinking about the sounds of the Passion. Tonight, that sound that we hear is crying tears. Crying tears. And we're going to be looking at the gospel reading from John chapter 11, and Jesus crying, and what that means for us in our grief and sorrow as well. We're going to begin our service tonight with our opening hymn. It's hymn number 420. We continue with the invocation and opening sentences. Please stand as you are able. Remembering our baptism, we are gathered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. He did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again. Once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading comes from John chapter 11. And again, this is the text for my sermon this evening. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with the sermon hymn number 436.
Oh,
Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I don't know if I have ever met anyone who says that they actually enjoy crying. Nobody. Anybody here like really love to cry? I mean, I've met people who have said that they feel like they really need to have a good cry, and then they do feel better afterwards, but they don't actually like the crying part. The red puffy eyes and the runny nose, it can feel embarrassing. An emotional imposition. Our crying can make other people feel uncomfortable, so we're apologetic. And everybody cries, don't they? Everybody, even guys, even men, we cry too. We may not admit it, but we do. Even if it's after just mowing the lawn and those lines are perfectly straight, it's beautiful, right? Beautiful. Yes, people cry tears of joy, happy tears. Or we cry sometimes because the words and music of a song just hit us right in the feels. The St. Paul High School Singing Saints had their spring concert after their tour. It was just on Sunday evening. And they closed out that concert like they usually do by singing "Abide with Me." And in that dimly lit sanctuary, after the final note faded away, I sat there and I listened and I heard people sniffling. Gets us right here. But more often than not, we cry because we are in pain. We're hurt. We're grieving. We die, or we cry at the death of a loved one or a friend, or when we're leaving a job, or when a relationship ends, or when something reminds us of a loss. Even if that loss happened years before, something jogs our memory, and there we are, crying about that all over again. Today, we hear the sound of crying tears. We Christians, we're not stoics, emotional robots, somehow above feeling human emotions. We absolutely believe what we heard earlier from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And in the Bible, we see the full range of emotions, don't we? We see joy, love, anger, sorrow. And even Jesus cried. It's the shortest verse in the English translation of the Bible. John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. That's it. That's the shortest verse. Just two words. Jesus is standing outside of the grave of his friend Lazarus. Lazarus had died 4 days earlier. Family and friends were gathered together. They were mourning, grieving, consoling. And with Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, and with the others, Jesus wept. It's such a short, matter-of-fact little verse that it can be easily overlooked, but this gives us a window into Jesus' humanity. He is the Son of God, yes, but he's also the Son of Man. Fully human. Flesh and blood and feelings. And this isn't the only time that we're told that Jesus cried. After riding into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Jesus looks over the city and he weeps over it. He cries over the holy destruction that is coming because of the people's persistent sin and the rejection of God's grace and mercy in the Savior. That's why he tells a crowd of mourners gathered together on Good Friday, while he is making his way to the cross, he tells them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." They were sad about Jesus' suffering and death. But he says they should be sadder over God's coming judgment. And did Jesus cry when the nails went through his hands and his feet, or as he hung on that cross for 6 hours? I don't see how he couldn't have cried in all of that pain. But we are told that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. The crying Christ is with us in our tears. We do not cry alone. God is not disconnected from your suffering. He's lived it. He's not unfamiliar with your pain. He's endured it. He is not removed from your grief. He's felt it. We can try to hide our tears from other people, but God knows. And Jesus is with us. And he cries with us over our hurts and our brokenness. We cry and we grieve, yes. But we have hope. St. Paul tells the Thessalonians, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." Paul doesn't deny grief here. He affirms that it's real. Grief and sadness and crying happen, even for Christians. But it does look different for us from the grieving process felt by those who don't know and trust Jesus as their Savior. You see, the crying Christ is with us in our tears, and he also takes away those tears. And this is more than just going through the stages of grief and coping mechanisms and healing, or at least the acclimation that comes with the passage of time. No, Jesus, he takes away the painful, hurtful, difficult root causes for our tears. Jesus cried right before he provided help. He cried outside of the grave of his friend Lazarus, right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He cried over the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and later that holy week, he would suffer and die on the cross to take away the threat of punishment for all those who believe and trust in him. Jesus cried over pain and death, loss and destruction, right before he put an end to all those things. Jesus is more than just our shoulder to cry on. He is our strength to strong arm our enemies into submission. And when we break down in tears, Jesus builds us up with the assurances of hope and a future. With Jesus, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And we see this most clearly on Easter morning, don't we? How many tears had Jesus' disciples and friends cried after Jesus' death on the cross? Tears of grief. tears of embarrassment and disappointment and guilt over the fact that so many of them had run away when Jesus was arrested. Peter, he wept bitterly after denying Jesus. And on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene stood outside of Jesus' garden tomb. And through her tears, she kept looking inside at the empty space. Jesus' body had been laid there on Friday, but now he was gone. A man approaches, the gardener. He asks why she's crying. "They have taken my Lord away," she says, "and I don't know where they have put him. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." The man then speaks her name, and she looks at him again. And this time, she sees him for who he is. It's Jesus. Alive and well. The champion over sin and the devil and death itself. The Savior who puts a limit on our crying tears of pain and grief. We weep now, yes. But the sound of laughing goes on forever. We mourn losses today, but our dancing for joy will have no end. In eternity, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be crying, nor mourning, nor pain anymore. For the former things, the difficult, sad, painful, broken things and separations and losses that we endure today, those former things, they will have passed away. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all wisdom and understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our service continues now with the gathering of our tithes and offerings. Please note in your bulletin how each portion of the prayer will end with the phrase, "Let us pray to the Lord," and all are invited to respond, "Lord, have mercy." Please stand as you are able. Gracious God, strength of the weak and the consolation of all who trust in you, grant us the confidence of your love and life in the face of hardship, suffering, and death, which we experience in this broken world. As we remember the tears Jesus shed over the death of his friend Lazarus, may the tears we cry over sin and death in this life be seen as precious in your sight. As we grieve, fill our hearts with hope and the steadfast promises secured for us in Jesus' death and resurrection. And finally, transform those tears of grief to those of joy, shed in thanks and praise on that day when we see our Savior face to face in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Abide with us, O Lord, for tears spill from our eyes. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the evening of the day, in the evening of life, in the evening of the world. Abide with us in your grace and mercy, in holy word and sacrament, in your comfort and your blessing. Abide with us in the night of distress and fear, in the night of doubt and temptation, in the night of bitter death, when these threaten to overtake us. Abide with us and with all your faithful ones, O Lord, in time and in eternity. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn, number 878.